Good morning. Daniel said something I feel like was meant for me. It just squeaked out of his mouth or came out of his mouth at some point. It didn't squeak. Sorry. He's not a 13-year-old boy. Sorry, Daniel. But he said, we're not in a hurry. And in that moment, what was running through my head is there's not going to be enough time for what I feel like God wants me to say. I was feeling in a hurry already. And then I heard that, and it just was like God saying, like, we're not in a hurry. You know, and God had blessings for me even between that moment and right now. Like, praying was so good just a little bit ago. So here's what I'm asking for you. I'm going to do my best to be obedient and not be in a hurry. I need you guys to listen, because I'm not going to be as flowery. I got a good analogy for us today. We're going to go like we're going up a one-way path up a mountain, okay? And so just like if you go up to view a mountaintop or view a cool lookout, you go up. You might see something, you notice it. You see something else, you notice it. See something else, and then you get to that view. And as the view is really good, it changes you. And then you come back down and you see that same thing, but maybe it's different now that you saw that. And the same thing again, but maybe it's different. Same thing again. We're going to go up the mountain and down the mountain. I'm going to show you three things on the way up. We're going to look at Jesus, and then we're going to look at those three things again. But I need you to stick close, okay? Imagine we're on a cliff edge, okay? Don't get distracted, okay? Stick with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm not in a hurry. But Jesus, I know that we need your help to have a relationship with you. And we're here, Jesus, asking. We're asking God the Father to open us up to a connection with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so mountaintop view, we're going to hit that quick. I kind of already told you about that. That's where we're headed. But here's our first stop as we're going up the trail. Okay, so next picture. All right, cute kid, right? You can't hurt but start with a cute kid, right? So here's my question. We're going to hit you quick with it. Is when you look at your life right now, everything that's going on, there's kind of two things in focus here. There's the kid who's consuming, and there's the ice cream that's getting, like, devoured, right? Consumed. I want you to look at yourself, look at your life, and say, am I the kid getting filled up and consumed and covered? Or do I feel more like that ice cream cone, and I'm getting just eaten up, and there's, you know, I just feel devoured maybe today. So I want you to answer that for yourself. Do you feel like, man, life is good and I'm filling up? Or do you feel like life is crashing into me like 47 teeth or however many teeth a three-year-old has, right? So just answer that. We got to go quick. So answer it for yourself. If you're taking notes, am I the kid or am I the ice cream? Am I consuming and being filled up and happy? Or do I feel like I'm getting devoured and there's not going to be enough of me, right? Okay, that's our first stop. Right? We're making good time, even if we're not in a hurry, right? Second stop, second picture. This one has a little bit of a story. So that's a penny. If you guys saw a penny on the ground, you probably would pass it, right? Pennies are not worth very much. They've not even been worth very much my whole life, but there was a time when they were worth plenty for me to stop and pick them up. And here's the reason. When I was a little kid, this is before Blockbuster, is how old this was. Blockbuster knocked this other place out of business. But when I was a little kid, there was this little family-owned movie rental place that was close to my house, and they had video games for 99 cents. You could rent them you rented them on one day, you had to take them back the next day at noon. And as a kid, I remember scanning all the time for change. And I would save change. I can remember a particular time where I knew I had, like, literally all pennies, I had, like, 96 cents. And I was looking for those last 3 cents. I was little enough I didn't understand tax, and my parents were gracious enough, tax didn't come into play. But I remember dumping out, like, the 99 pennies and being like, let's go rent a video game, right? And they were up for it. Here's what happened with a video game in that same time period. I remember my parents getting ready for church. My siblings are ready for church. I should be getting ready for church some morning. My parents were not crazy strict, but pretty strict. And I had been playing a Mega Man game for the original Nintendo, and I've been playing it all day Saturday, and I gotten really far. And I thought I could beat this game if I just had a few more hours. But we got to take it back by noon. Everybody else can just go to church, and I'll just stay here. It made total sense to me, right? I remember trying to convince my mom of that I was a little bit above her, like in upstairs, and she was just like ticked and amazed that I wasn't dressed. Like, why are you still in your pajamas? What do you mean you're trying to convince me how far you are in Mega Man? Like, get dressed right now. Like, you're in trouble, right? So that happened. Here's our question, right? Have you ever found something, you were so desperate for something that you found stuff that other people would just pass by, and you scrounged up everything you could, and you even made other people mad and disappointed other people because you were so consumed by something, right? Some of you, you know, you're walking through sleet to get an 8-ball or something, you know, right? It wasn't Mega Man, but like, have you ever scrounged up so much stuff and you're disappointing other people and you're just greedy for this thing that has actually consumed you, right? It's like taking you over. You disappoint people and shock them because it's taking you over, right? Okay, so that's stage two. That's step two, right? We're coming back down the mountain eventually, so we'll get to see these things again. Okay, number three. Okay, these are sugar cubes. I had a hard time finding sugar. Had a very random memory come back to me from biology in high school. It's going to involve these things, though. So sometimes you just get these flashes of something somebody taught you when you're like 16. I don't know I know kind of where this one came from. But here's the lesson I remember from high school biology. Sugar, sucrose, like basic sugar you would get to put in your coffee or whatever, when that stuff gets in your body, the first thing your body does to break it down, it takes a molecule of that sucrose or sugar, and it puts a molecule of water with it and breaks it in half, right? So that's what your body does with that, right? I lost my train of thought, guys. I'm sorry for that. We're going... Okay, so here we go. We're going up the mountain. With that sugar analogy, here's what I want you to think about. When I come to a spot where I had to be broken to be usable, it took me a while to get that out. Let me say it a little more clearly. When's a time in your life where the first step for you to be usable was for you to be broken in half? Because that's the first step for your body to use sugar, which is pretty simple energy. But the first thing your body has to do with it is break it in half. And I bet in your life, if you look back, there was a time where you were in such a state that the very first step for you to improve and be usable was for someone to break you in half, is what it felt like, right? For like something that had been solid to be broken. And for you to say like, like now that I'm broken, I'm ready to begin. Think about that. When was the time in your life where you could really say, now that I'm broken, I'm ready to begin? Okay, if you've never had that moment, let me invite you right now. Because if you've never been broken, let me say right now, you're not living your life right. And you need Jesus, right? So if you've never been broken, like, there you go. That's what you need to hear. It's like you haven't been doing it right. And your first step is to say, I haven't been doing it right. And I need Jesus. So if we're all in that spot, though, I would say we're ready to see Jesus. If you're in that spot of, I can't do it on my own, I need help, then you're ready for the mountaintop, right? One of the cool things about views, that first view I showed you, that didn't change anybody's life, right? If we had all climbed up a mountain this morning and seen that same view in real life, it might have changed somebody's life, right? Part of it is like you go up the mountain, gets you ready for the view. If you are in this moment thinking about, I'm like that sugar cube, I need to be broken before I can be usable. If you're thinking that way, then you're ready for this passage, okay? If you have that heart, so check your heart, do you have it? You're like, I'm not good enough on my own. Okay, we're gonna go to a passage that is rough stuff, okay? John chapter 6. We can go to our next slide here. Verse 52. I mean, this is stuff that's like, is Jesus literally insane? Like, that's how people first took this. And if you don't let it shock you, then you're probably not really paying attention to it or really letting it move you, okay? But I'll try to coach you through it, okay? So John chapter 6, verse 52, I really would love you to open up your Bible with me. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you got a Bible and you're trying, will you hold it up right now if you're like, I'm trying to get there? Most of you. Okay, good. So this makes me happy. This is the reason we're not putting it on the screen. Sometimes what's easiest isn't best. You guys opening up your Bibles is better, right? If you get distracted by whatever's in the Bible, that's okay. It's probably better than what I'm saying, right? So you go right ahead and read whatever you want. But John 6, verse 52 to 59. If you remember back to when Brian was preaching, he preached on a little earlier, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who follows me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. And we're still in that same mode of Jesus claiming that everybody's got to eat me, everybody's got to consume me to really have a connection with God, to really have eternal life. He's still in that mode, and people are not understanding it. So verse 52, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's very easy to judge people that don't get it with Jesus. That's not the right way to read the Bible, right? The way to read the Bible a lot of times is to say, like, how am I like these people that are messing it up? And here, these people don't understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus doesn't pull out a PowerPoint. Jesus doesn't make it real simple. He actually just keeps with the same analogy. He just keeps pushing. And here's what he's going to say. Jesus said to them, verse 53, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, that's a title he's given himself, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Can you imagine if during worship today, Daniel started talking about how, like, we need to eat his skin and drink his blood? You would be like, what kind of cult has Maywood become? Like, what happened? This is Jesus. Like, this is who we're all built around. This is how he's talking. People who are just sensible and want to understand things would leave when they hear someone talking about this. And we'll get there in the coming weeks. That's what most people do. They take off after hearing this. The people that stick around have enough faith to stick around, right? So if we got enough faith to say, okay, Jesus, let me hear you out. I think there's going to be something good here. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So here's Jesus saying, if you want to live forever, later in John, he'll define eternal life even a little more detail. He says, have a connection with God, just like Jesus has a connection with God. Have a perfect relationship. If you want that, how do you get it? You eat Jesus. Okay, it's hard to stick with that. Like, what? Here he says in verse 55, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. A lot of us pay no attention to the source or where stuff comes from that we let into our head and that we let into our heart. But we're real particular about, like, stuff we eat, right? If I went out on the sidewalk and found something that used to be food and said, like, hey, man, this is covered in gravel from Winter Road, but do you want to eat it? Like, no one in the room wants to eat it, right? If I pick something up off of my shoe, no one wants to eat it. If something's been sitting on my counter for days, probably nobody wants to eat it, right? Think about some of the ideas you let in to your mind or through your eyes this week or into your heart. Were they real food and real drink? Like, would you have eaten stuff from that same source? Probably not, right? Like, God in our body gave us some, like, repulsion instincts, so we know not to eat rotten stuff that'll make us sick. Unfortunately, you can desensitize your body, you know? That's what we do with smoking. I don't know, I met anybody with just cigarettes that's ever like, oh yeah, that first time I had a cigarette, I was just loved it, right? It's like your body is revulsed by it because it's poison for you, right? I'm not making you feel guilty, hopefully. I'm not trying to just heap guilt Maybe I'm making you feel guilty. I'm not trying to just heap guilt. This came out of nowhere. Sorry. What I'm trying to say is your body is set up to tell you this isn't good for me with a lot of things. But you can desensitize your body, right? You can flip it to where your body's against you and is telling you, like, smoke, 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 smoke. Stop listening to Jake. Smoke, 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 smoke. Right? And it's because you just pushed it. You, like, bullied it into submission. Some of us have bullied our hearts and our minds into submission of, like, all this stuff that's evil for us. We crave it at this point, right? But Jesus is saying, I'm real food and real drink. I will make your inside condition healthy if you take me in. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. That passage is kind of a preview, my favorite chapter of this whole book of John, John 15. Great chapter. But really, the core of our life is if we could just get this right, if we would just remain in Jesus, everything else will work itself out. He says here, how do you do it? You eat his flesh and drink his blood. Verse 57 is where I'm going to land us for the longest time if I can. It says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Mark Whitworth and I were talking just a little bit ago about this passage. I shared something with him about it that God laid in my heart this week. And Mark, who's like a missionary in Japan for 20 years and done all sorts of stuff, been at Maywood through puberty and, you know, all sorts of different stages of life, right? I mean, he said, I've never thought of it or heard it that way, right? So here it is. If it's good enough for Mark, perk you guys up a little bit. Let's listen. It says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This passage is so confusing. There's so much happening. We're so quick to like explain, like, oh, he's really just talking about Lord's Supper. Here's some grape juice. Like, we're so quick to do that. Most people miss this verse. What's this verse saying? The verse saying is like, Jesus lives off his Father. And for us to have real life, we have to live off of him. That's one piece. We see that a lot of other places in the gospel. He also says that he lives because the Father sent him, right? The living Father sent me. Most people who look at this passage, they get very focused on, I want to, if they're believers, I want to eat Jesus and take him on, right? I want to consume him. And that is the right way to take it. But have you thought about this, that Jesus signed up to be sent to earth and be consumed by all of us? Like, that's the mission that Jesus said, like, okay, God, you're my life, I'll do it. He signed up to be consumed by us. One of the super hard things about parenting little kids is it feels like they're consuming your whole life, right? It feels like you don't get to listen to music or have friends or anything. You know, it's just like everything in your life is consumed by these needs of these others, right? And for a normal life cycle, little kids is not the whole of your life, right? And a lot of us are like, whew, you know, be happy to be a grandparent. But like, that was a hard stage of life, right? The little kid stage. Jesus signed up for that sort of neediness from all of us. And let's take it a step farther. We start consuming Jesus, right? But ultimately, Jesus wants to send us like God sent him. He wants to make us have something inside of us that's good enough to offer to other people, right? A lot of us have come to Jesus today because we want to fill ourselves up, right? We don't have any aspiration to be so filled up with life that we're ready for consuming needy, hurtful people who don't think about us very much to constantly like claw at us, right? Okay, so I spent a long time on that. We're going to go through these last couple verses. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus is saying here, I'm better than what God offered in Exodus. In Exodus, God was meeting people's physical needs. Jesus is saying, I'm way more than that. And if you came here today just to have your basics met, just to say, I want a little bit of comfort in my life, Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm offering. I'm offering a whole lot more. Okay? He said this while he's teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Okay? That's our mountaintop view. Hopefully, when you looked at this, you saw that as much as you might run away from people that give you that feel, if they're going to try to gobble me up, Jesus went to you with the realization that that person needs to gobble me up if they're ever going to get better. Like, that's a lot of love, right? So hopefully you saw God. We're going to go back down this little mountain, and then we're going to get to do this Lord's Supper. So we're going to go back to these images and look at them again. Got the sugar one, right? Think about that now, thinking about what Jesus did, how Jesus literally is saying, I'm going to be broken for you. And then you see like, huh, like that's going to be the story of my life, right? It's being broken to be useful. That Jesus was perfect and still God said, my mission for you is to go be broken as a source of new life for people. Most of us are like, oh, I got over a couple of the sins I was ashamed of. I'm ready to go be a hero for Jesus, right? I'm ready to go be Superman for Jesus. And what if God comes to you and says, like, I'm going to go take you to a group of people and break you so that they can have more of me? Like, would you sign up for that? Like, you're going to go to your small group and you're going to confess something that's so shameful that it's going to open up everybody else to not be so ashamed of their stuff. Because if you could say that, like, they can say their little thing, right? And suddenly your brokenness becomes a source of new life for other people. Most of us aren't like, oh, sign me up to help my small group, right? I really want to pour out all my shame so much that I can help others, right? We're like, no, I wanted to come and tell everybody how to fix their lives, right? I wanted to come and give advice. But Jesus might be asking you to be like this thing and say the first step for you to be useful is to be broken. And maybe it's not even just the first step, right? Okay, we got to go back down the mountain. I had stories for these, but we don't need my stories maybe, right? Here's the deal on this penny thing. On the way up, I could think of scrounging stuff that other people didn't even notice or want to bend over for so I could get my fix of that video game, right? What if you wanted God so much? Did you notice Jesus described God as the living Father? And then he said, my life is through him. Most of us, we talk about God as anything but living, right? That's not our first description of God, right? We have this very static view of God. But for Jesus, he's vibrant. He's alive. His description is the living Father whom I live because he lives. Imagine if those little bits of time that other people ignore or that little bit of money or that little bit of influence you have with that person that you see every day, imagine if you would start gathering that up and saying, God, what do you want to do with this? Had a real inspiring moment where brother told me about, they said to God, God, if you give me this thing, I'll use it for you. And God answered their prayer, right? It's like, God loves that sort of stuff. God loves to be generous with us so we can be generous with others, right? So imagine if you said, man, I don't have a lot of time, but every little 5 minutes that comes my way, I'm going to really try to live with Jesus during that 5 minutes. Or I don't really have a whole lot of influence. I can't talk to my kids, or I can't do this or that, or blah, 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 blah. But I do get to read a little bit of the morning meditation every day. And what if you'd say, like, I'm not going to just walk over that like that's a penny on the ground. I'm going to gather that. I'm going to say, God, how could I read this thing in a way that opens you up to this room? Whether it's reading it slow or with peace, right? Okay, last little step down the mountain as we're going back down the trail. Here's this kid, right? We all thought the kid was cute when we started. Now we're looking at it and we're kind of like, oh man, I don't want to be that ice cream, right? Here's the thing. You don't be the ice cream until you've been the kid with Jesus. Don't leave this message and think like, oh man, yeah, Jake really got me and like I'm going to quit smoking and I'm going to help the homeless and I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Start with, Have you covered your face with Jesus? Think about how this kid eats ice cream, right? It's like total focus slash no concern for anything else, right? When was the last time when you got up in the morning and tried to spend some time with Jesus, when was the last time your face looked like that, right? When was the last time you approached Jesus like a three-year-old approaches ice cream? Where you said, like, man, I love this. I don't care who knows that I hung out with Jesus after this, right? Because everybody knows what flavor ice cream this kid ate, right? Is that how it is with you the whole day? Everybody knows you were reading in Philippians or whatever, right? Everybody knows. Once you have been that kid, then you have something in you. But I don't want to pull any punches with you. Jesus is calling you to a place where you're going to need to be broken. Jesus is calling you to a place where you're going to have to open up to other people, having some disregard for you, having some disrespect for you, and where you open up and say, I want to be a source of life. I want to be consumed for Jesus, right? So we had a plan with the worship team. I'm going to change that for us, guys. Today, we're going to take this Lord's Supper, and we're doing it again today. I know that confused people. We had, like, servants all over the place trying to, like, help us clean up. So that you might not actually have a Lord's Supper thing right in front of you. But I hope you do. If you don't, if you would raise your hand up, we've got extras right here, and we've got a couple guys that will give you one. But if everybody's got one, hopefully, that would be excellent. If not, raise your hand. Yeah, Jennifer and Mark need them. I think we're covered. So, here's our final thought before we read a little scripture and take this. I want to tell you guys what this is about in case you weren't here this last week. Jesus offered to everybody, we saw it real clearly last week, anybody who wants to eat him can. Anybody who wants to drink his blood can. I know that sounds like really morbid. But here's what Jesus is saying, is if you will take me in, I'll change you. And so when we do this, don't do this if you're not serious about Jesus, but if you're saying, Jesus, I accept that you died for me. Jesus, I believe that my life is in you. Like, I want to do it your way. I'm not perfect, but I want to do it your way. If you're at that spot, then you're ready to take this. You're ready to say, I'm going to live off of Jesus. So let's take this bread. You got to peel kind of the top off. Thank you guys for the encouragement. So here we go. If you guys will hold this up, if you've already taken it, that's okay too. It says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Then we're going to take the cup, if you want to open that up. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So, final thought. We're going to close in prayer. Final thought today is, what if this week you didn't do anything until you had received from Jesus? What if this week you didn't do anything until you had received from Jesus, till you had something to give? Let me pray over you. Jesus, I know the way our body works. As soon as we put something into our stomach, we start absorbing it. We start taking energy from it. And Jesus, we have eaten and drank in today because we wanted to take you into us. We want to live off of you. And so Jesus, I pray every single day this week that you would fill us up so that we can give to others. Help us to live on you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.